Bibles tonight, the book of Revelations, chapter 5. Good to have each of you here with us this evening as we continue our study through the book of Revelations, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Now, what I did this morning is I taught verses 9 and 10. I just felt I needed, I love those two verses for one thing. And we preached on redemption this morning. Verses 9 and 10, let me read them to you. They sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And it's made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Now that's what we looked at this morning. The word redeemed there in verse 9, means to buy, or to buy like out of the marketplace. And what he's telling his people is his people's been bought. And you know, he paid an awesome price to buy us. And you should never, ever, ever forget that all your days. Every day of your life, you should thank your Savior for redemption. But if it wasn't for him paying your price, hear me, you would have died in your sin. And I thank him for that every day. If I got what I deserved, the earth would open up and I'd slide right into hell. But I didn't get what I deserved. God bestowed upon me his grace, and he loved me so much that he provided his darling son to pay the debt that I owed. All God's people said. Amen. Now, buddy, that's love. That's love. And I hope you never get over it. I hope you never get over it. I hope it means something to you every day. And when you know you've been bought and paid for and what he did for you, it should make you want to serve him. It should make you want to serve him. Man, I ain't serving the Lord to get saved. What Jesus did by dying and rising again is what saved me. But I'm serving him because I am saved. And I want to please him. And I want to live a life that pleases him and brings honor and praise to the name of my Savior. If you're here tonight and born again, people should be able to see Jesus in you if you've trusted him as your Savior. So we looked at that this morning. So what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to title this different than I was going to. Of course, chapter 4 is a worship scene in heaven for creation. Chapter 5 is a worship scene in heaven for redemption. So since I looked at redemption this morning, because I knowed I'd get stuck on it. That's why I went ahead and pulled it out and done it this morning. A lot of unsaved people here this morning too, and that's another reason why I done it. But what I'm going to do tonight in is start at verse 1 and work our way down through our text here in Revelation chapter 5. And what we're going to do, we're going to look at the seven sealed book. Okay? Now we're going to be introduced to that in chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, are you still with me? But he's not going to explain the seals until we get over to chapter 6 and chapter 7. We're going to be introduced to the book in chapter 5, but then in chapter 6 and 7, he's going to explain the seals to us. So really, tonight, I'll probably just be about 15, 20 minutes and we'll be done. But I mean, all the big work is going to be done in chapter 6 and 7. But chapter 5 is a marvelous text. I'm just teasing with you. So this, the seven sealed book introduced is what our title is going to be, Brother Tim. The seven sealed book introduced. Now look back in Revelation 5. Revelation 5 and verse 1 says, "I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side." It means it had writing on the inside and on the outside. That's what he's telling you there in verse 1. And it says within and on the backside, sealed with what? Somebody tell me what it says there. Sealed with seven seals. Now, of course, I got my Bible here with me. And our books is like this, aren't they? But that wasn't the way their books was back in that day. Their books was in a scroll. This is what he's speaking of in this text. So when he's talking about a book, he's talking about this scroll that the one on the throne has. That's what he's talking about. Now, I'm just going to briefly explain this just a little bit to you. We'll get more into it in chapter 6 and in chapter 7. So here's what their books look like. And remember, the book has how many seals on it? That's what they did back in that day. They had a scroll form, and what they'd do is they'd roll the scroll up. And usually what they did is for a seal to close it, you would put normally a candle wax. That's what a lot of times they'd use, candle wax. And that would seal it up. They'd let it dry, and then you would send it, and then they'd break the what? Seal. Break the seal. That's the picture he's painting for you with this seven-sealed book. But this book just doesn't have one seal. It has how many again? It has seven seals. That's why it's called the seven-sealed book. Okay? Now, what this seven-sealed book represents, it represents events. Each one of these seals represents an event, and we'll talk some about what these events represent. Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke chapter 21, and the book of Revelation chapter 6 are all parallel. So when you are interpreting Revelation 6, you know where I'm going to go to eventually when we get over to that. Eventually I'm going to go to Matthew 24 because Jesus taught about these same things whenever he was here in Matthew 24. So eventually what we'll do is we'll link every bit of that together. And what we're doing, and it's the best way when you're covering prophecy, you let Scripture interpret Scripture. Before you don't got somebody saying, well, I think this means this, or I think this means that. This is going to sound, it don't really make any difference what you think. What makes a difference is what does the Bible mean by it? And what he's going to do is when he uses figurative language in the context, he will explain what it is. And then what we're looking at here, when we're going to be looking at the seven-sealed book, it will be explained for us in chapter 6. Now, let me explain what the seals represent. The first seal will represent false religion. Now, remember, I told you, are we waiting on false religion to happen? We've had false religion for 2,000 years. That's one what? That's one seal. Just not one false religion. There'll be many false religions come up. That makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, if there's true churches that preach the true gospel, then Satan's going to rear up false churches and false gospels. It's always been that way. There was false religion back in Jesus' day. There was false religion back in the Old Testament days. There always has been. But this is one of the seals that he mentions, false religion. Now, what's going to happen is all these events, what this book represents actually, is this book represents our future. That's what it represents. This book represents our future. But right now, this book is what? This book is sealed. And the reason why it's sealed is all of these events are happening. All of these events are happening. And what's going to happen one of these days is Jesus is going to do what to these seals? And to this book, he's going to break these seals. And what's going to happen? All these things is going to be fulfilled. And this is the future. What this book represents is the future of God's people. We're waiting everything to be brought to an end. But right now, it's what? It's sealed. And what he's going to describe for you in chapter 6 is all these different events that you see are happening now, with the exception of two. And they're happening over and over again. Are you ready? Let me give you what it is, and I got to get in the book. That's why I did 9 and 10 this morning. The first seal is false religion. The second seal is wars and rumors of wars. Just about anybody that studies Revelation will tell you what I'm telling you now. They might place things in a different time frame, but they do recognize what the seals represent. First one's false religion. The second seal is wars and rumors of wars. Now, has that started? Yeah, we've been having that. We've had that for 2,000 years. Wars and rumors of wars. We still have them today. And we will continue to have wars and rumors of wars all the way down till King Jesus sets his kingdom up. And then it'll be a kingdom of what? Peace. When the Prince of Peace reigns, it'll be perfect peace. We'll have false religion all the way down until the king sets his kingdom up. See? So that's what he's describing for you. Third seal is famines. Famine. Of course, there's famines all over the world down to the day. You can hear about famines all the time. Is there famines going on now in the world? Absolutely. Absolutely. He said, Jeff, look, all these things are beginning to happen. No, they've been happening. They've been happening for 2,000 years, really. I mean, this is, you can go back through history and you can see these events happening over and over and over again. And they will continue to happen until King Jesus comes and sets his kingdom up. All God's people said. The fourth seal is pestilence. And pestilence is sickness. It's actually death is what it is. It's pictured as by a horse with a greenish hue in Revelation chapter 6. We'll talk about that later. But pestilence is the fourth seal. Sickness, disease, death. Do you see these things happening now? Yes, it's been happening, right? I mean, it's a clear fulfillment. That's what I want you to see. And then the fifth seal is the persecution of the saints. The persecution of the saved. God's people have been persecuted. Read the New Testament. You can see the early church was persecuted. Go to the Dark Ages, millions and millions put to death, and they're still being persecuted all the way down to today. Now, all these events is going to continue happening. All during this time frame that we're living in, you will see these things happening. The scriptures are just being fulfilled day by day. Well, the sixth seal is the rapture. Has that happened yet? Better hope not. If the rapture happened, we wouldn't be here. We would be with the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something. Could the rapture happen tonight? Absolutely it could. I mean, he could come at any time. Now, let me ask you one thing. If you knew he was coming at five to eight, would you be ready? You see, you don't know you got till 5 to 8. You always, hear me, you always have to be ready. Ready for death, or ready. Not only must you be ready for death, but you also must be rapture ready. Ready to go up. I told you about this. I love this. I did a funeral service, did a graveside. I love to preach in a cemetery. I do. I love to talk about I think about the resurrection and things. And I was getting happy, I guess. I was talking about the person was saved, and I was talking about glory and how Christ is going to come and the dead in Christ. And the louder I was getting, I guess. And there was a man there, and as I was doing that, he was just getting that much more excited. And he let out a war whoop and like it scared me to death. He did. I mean, it scared me. I went, oh. But he got happy, and it blessed me, though. He came running over to me, and he said, Brother, you happy, ready to go up. That's what he said. And I thought that was awesome. That blessed my soul. Well, that's the rapture. That could indeed happen. That's what seal is it? That's the sixth seal. That's the sixth seal. And the seventh seal is the destruction of the earth. The seventh seal will be the destruction. That's what it's going to be. It'll be divided. The seventh seal will be divided into seven trumpets of wrath. And then it'll be divided again into seven bowls. So you have an angel coming, sounding a trumpet, and a judgment falls. He sounds another trumpet, and the judgment falls. Then he comes down to the seventh trumpet, then he divides it into seven bowls. And you have an angel coming and dropping a bowl down, and judgment falls. It's just nothing but destruction. That's what it shows you. And I'll explain all that when it gets there. But once that last event happens, and all these seals are broken, guess what's open? Guess what's opened up? That's our future. We'll be with the Lord. It'll end up with a new heaven and a new earth. But once all these seals are broken, see, all this is going on now. But when the Lord comes and he sets his kingdom up, all these seals will be open. Now, if you break these seals, what does that do to our future? It opens it up. It opens it up. And that's what this will be a picture of. All right, does that explain it good enough for you? Just real brief. I just wanted you to know what it is. That's what we're talking about in this seven-sealed book. We'll explain the events. The Lord lets us live. Start explaining it next week in Revelation 6, because there it defines what the seals picture. All God's people said. Remember Revelations 1:1, he said, I sent and signified this to John. Signified means to give by a sign or a picture. That means the book is going to use figurative language, but I want you to understand the book will tell you what the figurative language is. You let the book interpret itself, and that's what we're going to do. You get into trouble when you start trying to interpret it outside what the book says it is. All right, let's roll on. Let's go to Revelation 5 after that long introduction, and let's go ahead and begin at verse 1. It says, I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, and it's sealed with what again? Seven seals. I just showed you what the book, an illustration of what the book would look like. I explained that the seals were events, and we'll look at that next week in chapter 6. And he says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals? See, here you have all these bad things happening now, right? Persecution, wars, rumors of wars, famine, sickness, bad, all this stuff is going on, isn't it? And here the angel said, who's worthy to open the book? who's going to bring this thing to a close? Well, notice what it says. He says, who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals? Now watch this in verse 3. He said, no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth. Neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Wow. No one was worthy. It says, no man in heaven. Now, it gives you the different places where people are right there, too. I want you to note that. I mentioned that here recently, too. Where are men at today? Where are people at? Number one, people stress to Jesus, where are they at? What's the first place? In heaven? And the other place, now, I think the word in there is on. People that have trusted Jesus, where are they at today? In heaven. And then the other place where they're at is on the earth. That's the idea of the word in there, on the earth. We're living. Guess where we're at tonight? We're not in heaven, are we? But we're on the earth. What's the other place where men are located? Under the earth. Under the earth. If you'll remember, I'm not going to go back and preach that message. I think hell's in the earth. I think that's where hell is at. The book of Isaiah chapter 14, write this down, look it up. Isaiah 14, 9 through 15 speaks of hell. And a king is dying and said, hell from beneath is ready to receive you. Ooh, ain't that a frightening text? Hell from beneath is ready to receive you. That's Isaiah 14, 9 through 15. So that's the three places that men are. Heaven, earth, where else? Under the earth. So I think that's the location of hell. Let me ask you a question. Of the three locations, who's the better off? Those are in heaven. Sometimes you always miss your loved ones, won't you? But I tell you, it softens the blow when you consider they're with Jesus. When you know they're with the Lord. And you know they're not sick. You know they're not hurting. You know they're not sad. You know they're not suffering. And think of this, and never, ever will be again. All God's people say it. They're the ones. But so that's the three locations where people were at. No one was found worthy to do what? Open the book. It's sealed. This represents our future. It needs to be opened up. And that's what John is weeping over. Look at it in verse 4. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open or read the book, neither to look on it. It stayed how? It stayed sealed. And one of the elders said unto me, verse 5, weep not. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lion of who? Lion of the tribe of Judah. The root. It means a descendant of David. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. He'll open it one of these days. Right now all this is going on, but one of these days the king's going to come and bring this thing to a close. And he'll set up his kingdom on a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, God's people say it. Man, I believe it. Now, I want to point something out to you. Of course, everybody knows the line of Jesus come through the line of Judah. He come through the line of Judah. That's the kingly tribe. Not only that, when you read those chronologies in the book of Matthew and those chronologies in the book of Luke, he was a descendant of King David. Hey, he was 100% thoroughbred king. He was 100% thoroughbred king. He's the king that the Old Testament scriptures pointed forward to that was going to come. That's who it is. The root of David, descendant of David. Now, I want to draw attention to the word prevailed in verse 5. Does anybody know what the word prevailed means? It says that the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, what did he do? He prevailed. He hath prevailed. You know what word that is? Nikao, N-I-K-A-O. It's a kindred word to the word Nike. That means that he gained a victory. The word means to subdue. It's the meaning of Nikao is that to subdue or to get the victory. It's what Jesus did. He won the victory. How did he do it? Let's talk about it. How did Jesus get the victory? Well, he did it. First of all, he was born under the law. He lived a perfect life. Never committed one sin. He went to Calvary and substituted himself for our sin. Rather than us dying for eternity, he died in our place. And then what happened the third day? He rose again victorious over sin, over death, and over hell. We wouldn't have no future if it wasn't for that. We'd go right straight to hell when we died. We'd have no hope. The Lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed. And I want to tell you what he did. He conquered sin, he conquered death, and he conquered hell. And when you trust him as your Savior, he gives you victory over all three. That's why the Bible says, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if that don't pump you up your woods wet, I'm telling you, that's a wonderful thing. Now, I tell you, I like that. He prevailed to open the book. We wouldn't have a future, Eddie, if it wasn't for Jesus. All them were weeping here because no man in earth, on earth, under the earth, nobody could die for us. But Jesus prevailed. And he conquered sin, death, and hell for us. And because of Jesus, guess what? Because of Jesus, we got a future. And one of these days, all these bad things is going to be broke open and stopped. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And King Jesus is going to reign over it. And there won't be any more sin. There won't be no more sickness. And there won't be no more death. Like we sing, all will be peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day. That's what it means to be saved. When you read the book of Revelations, you see what it means to be saved. And the only reason we're saved is because of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He subdued and gained the victory by dying and rising again. Underline the word prevailed and write the word Nikao right there beside of it. And then in 1 John 5, 4, I think you have the word Nike used there, which means victory. He won the victory for you. So what happens when you receive Jesus as your Savior, He gives you the victory. He gives you the victory over these three. That's why we preach. Hey, what's life without that? What is life without that? Without the expectation of going to heaven at the end of your days. You ain't going to be here real long anyhow. What is life without the expectation of heaven? You know, beloved, I ain't afraid to die at all. I mean, I don't want to die. I mean, I wouldn't choose it to right now. I want to serve the Lord a little bit longer. But wouldn't it be a horrible thing not to have the expectation of going to heaven at the end of your days? If I die, I'll go to be with Jesus. If Jesus comes, I'll go to be with Jesus. Either way, I'll go to be with Jesus. And the Master said, Book of Philippians 1, I believe it is, that state of going to be with Jesus is far better. He just doesn't say it's a little bit better. He said it's far better than being here. I hope you're here tonight and saved. If not, you need to be. If you trust Jesus, He'll give you this victory through the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Let's go back and move on. I wanted to do this quick, which don't mean nothing. Let's look at verse 6 now. It says, Behold, in lo, in the midst of the throne, there was the four beasts. Now, I've done explained them to you. The four beasts represent the saved here on earth. That's we've seen that back in chapter 4. Don't want to revisit that. The four beasts and the in the midst of the elders, the 24 elders, both of them represent saved people. Now, remember why I said they represent saved people? Revelations 5:9, they're singing a song of redemption. God's people are in two locations. They're in heaven. What's the other location? They're in earth or on earth. So that's what that represents. Now, it says in the midst of the elders, now it's drawing attention to the Lamb again. And who's this Lamb? It's Jesus. It's a picture of Jesus. And notice He has seven horns, seven eyes, and seven spirits. Seven horns, seven eyes, and seven spirits. Now, I'll give you the seven spirits before. All of these represent, well, actually, they represent three things. First of all, let me give that to you. My, I got so much here to give you, I don't know what to give you first. Verse 6, the seven horn represents fullness of power. Because the horns on an animal was where their power's at. And that's what they used to kill with, too, by the way. That's their power, seven horns. So it represents fullness of power. Seven eyes represents wisdom, fullness of wisdom. And, of course, the seven spirits represent fullness of spirit. And, of course, the Lamb has fullness of power, omnipotent. He has all knowledge, omniscience. And then He has the fullness of the Spirit. So that's just showing Jesus in all of His power and authority and knowledge. And what's it doing? It's exalting Him. I give you the seven spirits, and I'm going to give them again to you, because we looked at that back in Revelations, I believe it was chapter 5. And let me give that to you again real fast, because I gave that to you real fast last time. There's only one Spirit, but seven spirits describes the different qualities of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? Number one is the Spirit of Truth. That's John 16:13. Spirit of Truth. Number two is Romans 1:4, the Spirit of Holiness. Number three, 2 Corinthians 4:13, the Spirit of Faith. Number four, the Spirit of Wisdom, Ephesians 1:17. Number five, the Spirit of Power, 2 Timothy 1:7. Number six, the Spirit of Grace, Hebrews 10:9. And number seven, the Spirit of Glory, 1 Peter 4:4. You see, that's the fullness of the, just naming all the qualities that makes Him what He is and who He is. So that's just a different picture of the Lord there in chapter 6. He has all power, all wisdom, and the fullness of the Spirit. And notice what Jesus does in verse 7. And he came, watch here now, he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And watch this now. And when he had took the book, oh, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. All figurative language. The prayers of the saints are pictured as sweet-smelling incense, is what it's speaking of. You know, when you pray to the Lord, how the Lord views it? It's just like sweet incense to Him. He loves to hear from you. So he says that his prayers of his saints are likened to this sweet-smelling incense. What he says in the text. Verse 9 is what we looked at this morning in 10, and I'm not going to stop on it. I'm going to read it and not going to comment a lot. It says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, and to do what? Open the seals. We'll bring all of these things to a close. And then once all the seals are done, then he will set up his kingdom. But the only one that can open the book is who? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. You know the reason why he hadn't done it yet? Does anybody know? Huh? What'd you say, Pop? Yeah, he ain't got all of his people. All the sheep ain't been brought in. Once all the sheep are brought in, he'll bring this thing to a close. All God's people said. Amen. He's redeemed us to God out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And he's made us what? Kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. Rule and reign with who? Rule and reign with Christ. You know, it's hard for us to get a grip on those kinds of things here on this earth right now, isn't it? And the way we are right now. It's hard to imagine all these things. It's going to happen. We'll be different then. The Bible says when we see Him, we'll be like Him. He'll establish a new heavens and a new earth. He'll set up His kingdom on a new earth. The Bible says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And there won't be no sin. And there won't be no death. And there won't be no sorrow. And there won't be no more sadness. I just can't imagine how it would be like. The Master will be there. Our people that died in Christ, they'll be there. You'll see them again and we'll be together. I've said this to people I love before. Well, you know, we're going to spend forever together. Let me say it one more time. We're going to spend forever together. And ain't nothing any greater than that, is it, this side of glory? The expectation of spending forever. Any kind of parting is temporary. Because we're going to spend forever together. All God's people say it. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and wind this up. It says, I beheld and heard a voice of many angels round about the throne. And the beasts and the elders, remember that represents saved people, Revelations 5:9, because they sing a song of redemption. Listen to this, Henny. And the number of them was 10,000, 10,000s, and thousands of thousands. How many is that? That's a whole bunch. I can't imagine what that's going to sound like. And here's what they say. Here's this great, massive multitude, and they're singing praise, and they say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and blessing. I mean, they're breaking out in full-scale praise right here. And every creature which is in heaven, earth, under the earth, such are in the sea, all that is in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. I mean, what are they doing right here? They're praising. Why are they praising? God had made them kings and priests. God has redeemed them. God has saved them from hell, and they are worshiping better than ever right here. Because we're hindered by this flesh body. Y'all agree? We're hindered by this thing. We can worship, but boy, the worship here will be absolutely pure. See what I'm saying? Absolutely pure. I can be in a church service and my mind wander 65 miles away. Has yours ever done it? And you really ain't worshiping because our flesh body, we just can't help it. Try to sometimes. That's why you got to pray before you come. But buddy, they are really worshiping. Verse 14, and the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. All God's people said. I'm going to stop with that. I don't think you can stop at any better point. I want you to read Revelation 6 for next week. We're going to get in. We have to go to Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21 to help us interpret this. We're going to take our time with it. If it was y'all blessed by that tonight, I hope you was. You need to get a glimpse of glory because I think we get too earthbound. And when you get a little glimpse of what it's going to be like, it should excite you. It's a great thing being saved, and we got a great place we're going to be going to. Let's all stand. Thank you.